Whenever we deal with the gospel of free grace, there are always two errors that follow in its wake. There are always two wrong or false teachings that tend to orbit around the gospel of free grace. Just think about the gospel for a moment. There is nothing that we can do that is good enough to make us righteous before God. There is nothing that we can depend upon in ourselves to save ourselves. This means that we have to look outside of ourselves. We have to look to God. We rely upon God's mercy and what He provides for our salvation. God has to provide someone who will be righteous on our behalf. God has to provide someone who will die on our behalf, and He has done this for us in Christ. The only way that we can get the benefits of what Jesus has done for us is not by works, but by receiving it as a free gift, by faith. The gospel cuts across all those misinformed instincts that we have, and so we often react with two predictable errors: antinomianism and perfectionism. License, legalism, whatever way you want to look at it. The first error is often antinomianism. Those who reject that we are not saved by works, but by receiving salvation for free by faith, they always have this deep concern. They're worried that if we believe in a gospel of free grace, what's going to happen to our holiness? If we're no longer going to go to hell for our sins, what about our holiness? What about God's commands? They think that the gospel is going to create people who won't work, who won't strive, who will be lazy, who will just give way to sin in their lives. They don't like a gospel of free grace because there's not enough fear in it. There's not enough anxiety and worry, and there's not enough emphasis on what you have to do to make it work in it. And so they accuse the free gospel of grace of antinomianism. To their minds, if you don't have to work for your salvation in some way, either to get saved or to stay saved, this is going to create lawlessness, which is what antinomianism means. This fear drives them to put works into the gospel in some way, either to get saved or to stay saved. A second error lies close at hand, and that's the error of perfectionism. You see, if you think that you can be good enough, if you think you do have some ability in and of yourself, if works do play some part in your salvation, either to get it or to keep it, you'll have a very high view of your own ability. And this will lead to a view of perfectionism. Paul addresses both these errors in the portion that we're going to be looking at this morning as we look at Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16. Paul, you'll remember, is dealing with false teachers. These false teachers are teaching that salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, is not enough. You need Jesus plus the Mosaic law to be righteous and to be part of the people of God. Paul has affirmed these non-Jewish Christians, the Philippians, that they are God's people because of their faith in Christ. And last week, you'll remember, we looked at Paul's testimony, where Paul presented himself as the poster boy for Jewish and law righteousness, and how he was willing to count it all as loss, as dung, as rubbish, for the sake of knowing Christ and the righteousness to be found in Him. Now, Paul made some big statements last week, and Paul, ever the sensitive teacher, realizes that there are some things that he may have said that could have been misconstrued. And so in verses 12 to 16, he's sort of mopping up some of those possible misunderstandings, and he's going to bring some clarification. Paul recognizes that if he makes a statement like, "I have experienced the power of Christ," or "my desire is to be exactly like Christ, I am willing to die as a martyr for Christ," he knows that there are those with perfectionistic and legalistic tendencies that are going to mishear what he is trying to say. He knows that the legalist is thinking that, you know, he's just exchanged one form of self-righteousness for another. But he's also aware that the legalist wants to accuse those who believe in a gospel of free grace of antinomianism, of abandoning a life of dedication to holiness. So Paul, you'll see here in verse 12 to 16, speaking again out of his own experience, combats these two problems, antinomianism and perfectionism. Paul shows how a sinner saved by grace does continue to have indwelling sin. If you're a Christian, you still have a sinful nature.